American Weekend.
Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, and we are back as we continue on. Roland, please.
I read in the Washington Post recently about the bombshell that John Walsh created. You know, he's the Senator John Walsh, who apparently plagiarized a substantial portion of a paper that he submitted to the United States Army War College, and where he received a master's degree in 2007. And the Times broke I think the New York Times broke the story, but the Washington Post followed up on that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of plagiarism out there today.
Without question.
Why do you think that is? I mean, are we devoid of new thought?
They don't understand the term footnotes. They don't understand the fact of quoting their own work, and they can do that, not the whole work, but a piece of the work. They're allowed to do that. An earlier work, you're allowed to quote. What they don't understand how to do any longer, and this is simply my opinion. I'm sure I'll have detractors to this thought. They can't write. They just simply can't, because we don't teach it well enough any longer. It's a practiced art. The ability to sit down at a typewriter or with a pen in hand, I'll accept pencil, and put something down on a piece of paper. They cannot do that. You and I have talked about this. I've seen some extraordinary things come across my desk and on my computer in various emails that I blink at. I blink. I marvel at. These are some very high-priced, well-educated people who simply cannot put three sentences together that are comprehensive. I can't understand that.
All you need for a simple declarative sentence is a subject and a predicate and a verb.
A beginning, a middle, and an end.
Of course.
And with a period. By the way, periods and grammatical, let's not even go there
But you look at emails today, they're not conforming to the rules of punctuation.
Oh,
you'll get a series of dashes or dots to define a separation between thoughts.
And those blankety blank smiling faces, I think, is that...
Well, what do they call them? Emojis.
Yes, I'd like to take those emojis and do you know what with them. The point is that give me a sentence. Express your thought. They don't want to spend the time to express that thought. And they spit this stuff out. And I look at this stuff and I blink. I sent one back. And I said to this young lady, what is it that you're trying to say? And you know what she said to me? I did my best in three sentences. Three sentences. And I said to her in my retort, these are not sentences.
You know, if you look at great literature.
Oh, Lord.
Look at the great literature and look at the lead sentences in the great books of literature.
Yes.
And I'll just toss out a couple of examples and we can talk about that. Dickens.
No.
Tale of Two Cities.
Yes.
Begins with, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yes. Remarkable.
I mean, if that doesn't draw you in as a reader, I don't think nothing will.
They had, and I must admit, I do not have that talent. I wish I did. The great writers are able to capture a thought with the least amount of words. They understand. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago about poets in America. I mentioned Billy Joel and Paul Simon. Billy Joel had just won the Gershwin Award at the Library of Congress. They are poets, and the words they use in this phrase in music, but they are poets who say the most extraordinary things in the least amount of words. Of course, always Shakespeare, because it always does get down to Shakespeare, who can phrase and paraphrase, and Tennessee Williams, I can go on. You know, William Faulkner, brilliant in every way, everywhere.
Well, you know, Ernest Hemingway was once challenged by some writer friends to write a story in six words.
Yes, I heard about that.
Okay. I'm going to share it with you again, because I think we talked about this a number of years ago in some other context. But what he said, what he wrote was this. For sale, baby shoes, never used. now.
There you are.
What is that? That's a whole story. It's a beginning and a middle and an end.
Yes, brilliant. He was, and I thought as an example, his Movable Feast was a brilliant book. Brilliant in every way.
I liked Old Man on the Sea.
You did, and many people do. Yeah. And most people do not define Movable Feast as one of his better works, but it defined Paris in the summertime for me. And Paris in the summertime is a very unique place, okay? It's like being on the Jersey Shore in the summertime.
Well, Hemingway lived there.
Yes, he
as
did.
As well as he lived in Key West. And he traveled
extensively
all over the world.
But the way he defined it, the way he defined a Movable Feast, the way he gave it its focus in the mid-30s of Paris, a brilliant period of time, of course. But it's the way he wrote it. It was brilliant. But he defined it as a short book. I thought it was a brilliant book. William Faulkner, in almost anything he ever wrote, was brilliant. His words captured imagination in sentences. They were wonderful.
You know, some of the greatest stories, I think, in American literature anyway, and probably true in other cultures' literature, are the short stories.
Yes.
The ones that create a parable, the ones that create a moral lesson, or, you know, something else that affects you in the way you behave.
It was the best of Reader's Digest in their prime.
Mm.
Because they gave you the short, they used to call it the Reader's Digest version. But sometimes the Reader's Digest version was better than the book. Because it encapsulized the story in the shortest amount of time and gave it a brevity to it. And it was right there in front of you and you read it. And then sometimes it would encourage you to read the book. But I always get back to reading the book. Because you got to read the book. And by the way, here's another rant for me. Not on a tablet. Read the blessed book. Okay? Hmm. It's got paper. It can fold. It closes. You put it in your hands.
This is where I disagree with you.
I know you do.
I mean, I like technology. I like using my iPad. I like using the Nook. I like using the, you know, whatever else is out there that you know, the Amazon, the Kindle.
You can't smell a Kindle. For me, you can smell a book. It has paper.
But I can carry in my Kindle, I could carry, if I wanted to,
yes,
300 or 400 books.
Correct.
You cannot do that on your back.
You cannot. But you see, it's the effort of trying.
Oh, here we
so,
go.
We're going away sometime at the end of this month. My wife and I are going to try to steal 4 days. We're going to try. It may be impossible, but going to try. And she says, "How many books are you bringing?" I said, "How many books can I carry?"
Well,
how many books can I
mean,
carry?
Some people enjoy a vacation by sitting in a lawn chair or by the pool reading. I imagine that's you.
I try not to take too much time away from my lovely wife, who God bless her, tolerates me greatly. But that 20 minutes, you noted it, 20 minutes before I go to bed, or 10 minutes before I get a quiet moment, mm-hmm, I open up a book and I read it, and I love it. That little space and time. Most people who read love that. It doesn't have to be for 3-4 hours. Give me 10 minutes. I'll take 15. Thanks very much. I want to read this one chapter.
Well, I think the love of reading comes from what you saw as a child, what your parents did.
I was a terrible reader, by the way.
My mother was a teacher, voraciously.
Oh.
But my father, I don't think, until he got much older, ever read a book.
My father... I never read a... This is absolutely true. My brother to this day always questions me about it. I never read a comic book. Never.
Well, I did. I had
even
a
as a
collection.
Child. My yeah. brother Ralph loved them. He and my father, they were... In today's Comic-Con world, they would be stars.
They were great stories.
They're good, wonderful stories, but I never read a book. I'd prefer to read something more interesting.
You know,
how very boring is that? And Chris is nodding his head in the control room.
Yeah, back to my father for a second. I remember as we both got older, he was in his 70s, and I asked him to read a book that I had read so that we could sit and talk about it. And he looked at me kind of surprised. He said, "Okay, I'll do that." And he did, and we did. We had this wonderful talk. And I'll tell you, Carl, that's one of the memories that I carry about my dad, because he passed not too long after that. But it's something that he knew I wanted to do, and I knew I had to have that conversation with him about how he felt about certain things.
My little girl to this day, she's now 8 years old, she'll always say to me, Daddy, do you remember the time when you used to read to me those children's stories? And to this day, it still brings the tears to my eyes because she remembered. And she could remember everything and the little mistakes that I would make. She remembered all of them because it was a moment in her life, her very young life. And that's wonderful.
Well, there's nothing nicer, and this is a good way to leave everybody today. There's nothing nicer than once upon a time, and there's nothing more conclusive than they lived happily ever after.
I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you, as always, Roland. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. Until next time.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.